Okay, James is writing those which are scattered abroad, okay, and regarding coming, being not severed from government, but being joined to government. Okay, many people were scattered abroad upon a persecution that rose about the martyrdom of Stephen. Okay, many of them, when they went, they began to establish church homes, church assemblies. Okay, in the areas where they went, okay, and the apostles had Peter, James, and John. Okay, began to see that that the effect of this could be devastating. Okay, if the saints aren't guided, okay, if they don't understand what's taking place, okay, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to fall into the hands of Satan. Okay, and there's all kinds of different philosophies are going to develop, okay, as we see today. Okay, without their stewardship, so Peter and James and John, they remain in Jerusalem. Okay, but observing these things, as Peter did. Peter also wrote to those of Cappadocia, okay, and Bithynia, okay, and those around those areas, the Greek areas there, or Asia, okay, as was also addressed in the Book of Revelation of the seven churches of Asia. Okay, Paul's letters also arrived in Ephesus, okay, concerning the churches of Asia, as Peter wrote, James wrote, and Paul wrote. Okay, you can see about how they were putting the people in mind that. That the knowledge is not to be removed from the kingdom of God, but the knowledge is to be used to build the kingdom of God. Okay, if we remove the knowledge from the kingdom of God, okay, then it's utilized in another form of an idol. Okay, and we can see that when the stewardship was absent, okay, suddenly an idol emerged on the sand. Okay, and this is what Aaron said. Okay, they took off their earrings, they threw it to they put it to this furnace, and this calf came walking out. Kind of like that. Of course, we know we're exaggerating on that. Okay, but that's what happens. Okay, even though Aaron was present, and Aaron represented the priesthood, they had the priesthood, but they didn't have the stewardship, okay? Because it's the stewardship that sanctifies the priesthood. Okay, so by removing the priesthood from the stewardship, you get the golden calf. Okay, and that was my sacrifices yesterday. That
yeah,
close there. Okay. And that's what they did. They removed the gold from the altar and they put it upon the beast. Okay, and by doing that, you end up worshiping yourself, mm-hmm. the beast. Okay, in that. Okay, this has been a very negative practice. Okay, for the last 1,500 years. Okay, that they took the knowledge. Okay, and all they did was just cover their own philosophy with it. Okay, saying this knowledge is good as the Bible, but you say, yeah, that's right, that's gold, all right, but look what it's on top of. It's on top of a calf, a golden calf, see? Okay. And putting upon this calf there, they're trying to make it meaningful. Okay, and so the people, what happens when you do that? When you take the knowledge and put on a calf, you eat, you drink, you rise up, you sit down, you do nothing. Okay, all it is nothing but the gospel of pleasure. This becomes a gospel of pleasure, a gospel of self-indulgence, okay, a gospel of health and wealth. Okay, the laughter movement is a good example of that. Okay, the people rose up to eat and drink and to play. Okay, and that's what the laughter movement is all about. Okay, they took the knowledge and covered the calf with it. Okay, so we can see in the absence of Moses, okay, as the absence here, okay, as James is addressing those scattered abroad, okay, Peter is addressing those scattered abroad. Okay, Paul also wrote letters in order to address these things as the seven churches of Asia. Okay, well, let's go on here. In James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, okay, knowing that we should see the greater condemnation. Okay, and the reason why he says that is because there's a lot of people that qualify themselves to be put in a position of authority. Okay, this is the same thing that the Apostle Jude saw. Okay, the Apostle Jude saw the same thing, that they were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Okay, they were taking the gold, okay, and using it to projection their own self-esteem. Ambition. These were ambitious people. Ambitious people become the most aggressive against truth, okay, and against government. Okay, yet, they're at the same time, they're claiming to be servants of the Lord. They're not servants of the Lord, but in their mind they are. Okay, in their mind they are, but in reality, they have departed from the faith. So here James is warning them about this. Okay, in the absence of stewardship, look what happened to you. Okay, and regarding you did, but you pursued vain things. Isn't your religion vain? Your religion is vain. And he says, pure religion. Why would he even have to mention that? because he's showing that the separation from Jerusalem upon Peter's Stephen's death, okay, they brought about all kinds of other Christian philosophies. They had to be corrected. So writing this letter, he's showing them the conflict that existed. Okay, but thou art, as Paul said, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked, or as James said, John said, but thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, naked. Look what happened. The doctrine of Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Nicolaitans has to do with the mingling of covenants. Okay, the mingling of covenants have to do with they're trying to preserve Jewish tradition. Okay, with Christian profession. Mm-hmm. Jewish tradition with Christian profession. So the Christians are being Judaized. Okay, to try to find, they're trying to find their true roots in God by Jewish tradition. But it was Jewish tradition that crucified our Lord, wasn't it? The very thing. Okay, and so James was addressing pure religion. Pure religion, in other words, your religion is not pure because it's been mingled with the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of Nicolaitans, okay, Jezebel's influence around Asia there, because Jezebel, again, emerged, okay, as a very strong, okay, a recognized ministry. Okay, the Lord used her in miracles and prophecy, okay, and she used that as an opportunity of her own aspirations. Jezebel was a real person, okay, but she used that position, her affluent position, social position too, okay, being some of the first converts up there, okay, she turned it into her own opportunities. So by the time the letter of John rose there, the Spirit of the Lord already warned these people. He says, particularly in Thyatira, he warned them. He says, the things that you're prophesying is not standing in God's interest, it's standing only in the interest of man. So therefore, they're prophesying from the depths of hell. Mm-hmm. The depths of hell.
See, the aspiration is so powerful that it quietens that fear of the Lord. It just takes it away. It just go on and...
It will do that too, yes. Mm-hmm. So by the time he gets over here, in chapter 3, in chapter 2 he calls him, O vain man. O vain man. Okay, as he's writing these to those that were scattered in chapter 1. The 12 tribes and those who are scattered abroad, greeting, again upon Stephen's persecution and death, martyrdom. We can see also, okay, that those people like Antipas, okay, Antipas was martyred, okay, there in the area of Pergamos. He was martyred, okay, because he was standing against the doctrine of Nicolaitans. He says, and why? Because the Jews that were converted, okay, in Jerusalem, okay, and then left there because of Stephen's death, okay, still carried Jewish traditions with them, and some of them were rabbis, okay, that believed in Jesus as the Messiah, okay, but they also wanted to preserve Jewish tradition, okay, and when Antipas, okay, began to oppose, okay, Judaism, okay, of the heathen. Okay, he was immediately spoken against and looked upon as a dissenter, and martyred. That's why it's called a faithful martyr. Okay, even where Satan's seed is, how did he even get there? Okay, the Judaizers went there. Okay, the Judaizers went there, and they began to establish a Judeo-Christian philosophy. Okay, a Judeo-Christian philosophy.
Which is still with us today.
And it's still with us today. That's the doctrine of Nicolaitans, right? And it's very dangerous. Because what it does is that it tethers people to Jewish history, okay, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you don't grow. You don't grow in that. Okay, but it doesn't. It definitely performs a philosophical flattery, okay, that people really being engaged in actually think they're doing righteousness. That's how dangerous it is. Very dangerous. My brethren, be not many masters, he said. So he's addressing this. For in many things we offend all. We apostles, we offend all. In many things we offend all. We apostles, particularly in truth. Okay, but if any man, and particularly in charity, okay, in truth, truth does offend. We know truth offends. But people also can offend even through their aspirations. Okay, because they want to impose a principle, okay, and call that truth. Okay, but we have to replace our aspiration with faith, don't we? We have to replace our principle with truth. And we have to praise the temperament, okay, and the perspective of the world, okay, with the temperament of Christ, regeneration, okay, true regeneration. False regeneration, all false regeneration then is this, a makeover of the moral code, okay, which means people elect, Okay. Certain Christian philosophies. Okay, and by complying to certain Christian philosophies, which is called will worship. Okay, they try to project a worthiness. Okay, of their aspiration. They want their aspiration to stand for something. Okay, they say, see, I'm a good person. Okay, I did good things. Okay, I pray. I read my Bible. Okay, yet all this time, okay, they're absent of a priesthood, and they're also they're not in any recognition of government. Okay, they're freelancing Christians. Okay, they're just floating. Okay, but they feel that they're qualified to discern or to intrude into the mysteries of Christ. Okay, with a carnal key, you can't do that. You're using a rubber key and a lock. Okay, and is this going to frustrate you? Every time you try to turn it, is this going to bend? But it's not going to do anything. It looks just like the real key. Like, here's some real keys, okay? These are real keys, okay? The thing about it is that, okay, being the material that it is able to open it, okay? So what Satan then is, he crafted a key, but a rubber key. And he says, see, doesn't that look just like the real key? Oh, yeah, that looks like the real key, all right. Okay, so here, use this and open the door. Open the door to the mysteries of God and put it in. It just keeps bending. Okay, and they get frustrated. Okay. All right, let's go on here. For many things we offend all, we apostles, but if any offend not in word, okay, concerning the true charity, the same is perfect, okay, regarding your cycles of growth. Okay, a perfect man able also to bridle the whole body, which has to do with controlling the direction of the church. Behold, we as apostles, we put, and naturally speaking too, behold, we put bits in a horse's mouths. Why did we do that? Okay, for the purpose of utilizing them properly. Okay, but without the government of God, where's the direction for the church? It isn't. It's just a wild beast. Okay, it's running the plains out there. Okay, it's running the plains, and it succumbs to disease. Okay, it succumbs to disease and wild beasts. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. Okay, as concerning naturally speaking, and we turn about their whole body, even though it's a massive beast and stronger than we are. Okay, yet by this simple tool of your priesthood. Yeah, you're able to direct the aspiration. Okay, and you're able to direct it, subdue it. Okay, the wild horse is like the aspiration of man. Okay, but once you put the bridle and the saddle on it, okay, the aspiration now is brought into control. Okay, and in other words, it's brought now into faith. Behold, also the ships, though they be so great, they're very powerful. They're larger than we are. Okay, and they're utilized for cargo, okay, and transportation. Okay, and are driven of a fierce wind. Yet they turn about of a very small hill. Okay, again, it's concerning government as well as the tongue. Whithersoever the governor or the captain of the ship desires or is assigned. So even so is the tongue, okay, which is used to edification, to build the body, okay, is also used to for the purpose of destroying, okay, weakening, destroying, and plundering the body. So even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. That's the aspiration again. It can project a self worth. Okay, like you could have a whole bowl of fool's gold, and it's called gold, but it's fool's gold. It looks just like real gold, but it has no value to it. Okay, and that's the boasting of the sinner. The boasting of the sinner likes the glitter. Okay, but it has no value to it. It's just a lot of glitter. Okay, like paste diamonds or paste pearls. Okay, it has glitter and it has a lot of eye appeal, but it has really no real value to it. It can be very discouraging when you take it to the hawk shop. Okay, and you think that you're holding on to a family.
Heirloom, right?
Mm-hmm. A family heirloom there, and you found out that it was just something that was it had only
it was a fake.
Yeah, it's a fake, and it only holds like a something, something that happened to you, like you hold something in a family heirloom, huh?
Sentimental.
Something sentimental, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but it really has no public value to it, right? Mm-hmm. Behold, great a little matter, a little fire kindles. Okay, a match can work two ways. It can warm your house or can burn it down. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the knowledge of God also can work two ways. It can work for the purpose of building the body of Christ, or can enter into plundering. In the wrong hands, it can plunder. In the right hands, it can build. Okay, and we can see what happens when Satan took the knowledge of God and used it against the Word of God himself. It was for the purpose of plundering, wasn't it? Okay, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, because the Bible says it. Okay, that he should give his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. That's right. The Bible says it. That I do not deny. The Bible says that, but it's not in truth the way the and regarding of how it's being applied. It's not truth. It's true, but not truth. Okay, and that's confusing to people. Okay, because the Bible is true, okay, in its facts, but it can be also used in error. Okay, which means you can take something that's true to fact, okay, and by extrapolating that and putting it with a different context, it becomes not truth anymore. It becomes error. Okay, but it's the same facts. Okay, how great a man a little fire kindles. Now the tongue, he says, a fire like a match in a world of iniquity. Okay, a world of iniquity being dipped, okay, in the knowledge of the world. It's dipped in the knowledge. The word world right there has to do with a system of thinking. That's what the world is. He's not talking about the soil of your front yard there. Okay, but he's talking about a whole system of thinking. Okay, and the tongue has been educated with a system of thinking that's iniquitous. Okay, and it continually projects self-worth. Okay, it will stand against truth. Okay, so is the tongue. Okay, even as a voice, even among our members. Hide the word members there, because this is the voice of the signature. The voice of the signature has been educated. Okay, and the signature now, okay, is cluttered over with barnacles. Okay, you can't really identify what it is anymore. Okay, it's like drawing something. It's like explorers, okay, or treasure hunters. Okay, that explore the depths. There were some treasure hunters that visited the Birchwood Mall there in Michigan. Okay, and they were showing all the treasures of the Spanish galley, okay, that they found. They discovered it, okay, and it was full of gold. It was really amazing, and it was full of gold, and they were showing of all these interesting treasures that they found there, and also the processes that they had to go through, okay, in order to take off all the barnacles that were attached themselves to it, and it was beautiful. Okay, there was a lot of like gold crosses and earrings and beads, okay, gold, all this gold that the Spanish were plundering the New World, you know, South America. They were plundering the Aztecs, I guess you call it, the Mayans, okay, and bringing all that gold back to Spain. Okay, so it was kind of interesting. Okay, but the barnacles were on that, and the barnacles had to be removed in order to display the beauty. And here we can see that the world of iniquity is the barnacles upon your signature, which is the members. Okay, this is what the Lord is removing. Okay, by the special acids called truth. Okay, so that the beauty of what you really are begins to come forth. Okay, so that you're no longer a creation of your neighbor, but now you're a creation of God. Before, when you're in the kingdom of darkness, you were a creation of your neighbor. Your neighbor molded your perception, or your best friend molded your perception, okay, or the institution molded your perception, okay. And these are all they were doing is these were barnacles attaching themselves to you, okay, removing who you really were, okay. And that's what the knowledge of the world does. The knowledge of the world is called the world of iniquity, okay, because it stands independent and untethered from the kingdom of God. It's darkness, okay, and attaches itself to the soul, okay. And when it does this, it completely clouds your thinking to where your moral code stands as your own self-righteousness. Okay, and so it defiles the whole body. Okay, not only the barnacles, okay, the soul, but also it infects other people. Through the word defile. Okay, which has the state of the conscience is a virus. Okay, the state of conscience is a virus. Okay, and because it's packaged in such a beautiful packaging of sincerity, you think that what's inside of it is pure. No, it ain't. Just because it's some beautiful, Christmas packaging doesn't mean that what's inside of it is sour. Okay, and so the defiled conscience can exhibit itself in beautiful ways. Okay, the aspirations, but when truth is present and opens it up, you see what's inside of it. It's called hell. It says right here, it is set on fire from hell. Okay, it defiles the whole body, huh?
Or tomb.
It's like a tomb, right? It's like a beautiful casket. Can you imagine people paying thousands of dollars for a beautiful casket that you're only going to see it for about 3 days and it's going to be put in the ground, and after that you don't see it anymore?
Those are
They pay thousands of dollars for these beautiful caskets. And what's really a paradox about it is that and when they is that it's happened now more than one occasion where their relatives, where their loved ones were buried, were never buried there. Okay, the casket was put in recycle. Okay. Like recycling caskets. You know, in other words, you go out after the funeral, you just open a casket, dump the body out, bury it real quick, take the casket back in and resell it.
I'm sure
they're
going to be. Isn't that terrible that people do that? Huh?
I said, I think I'd rather be put directly in the ground instead of turning into mush in a box.
A mush box. And that sounds even that. Now Stephen King, he needs to get a hold of that one, the mush box.
Yeah, the mush box. Who? David King?
Yeah, Stephen King.
Oh, Stephen King, yeah.
The people selling the box obviously understand the
value.
It's so stupid, man.
Now what's even more infuriating is that when word got out, and it was in one area in Mississippi. Okay, that the funeral director, okay, the people would buy burial plots, plants. And what happened is that the people never buried there in the first place. It was he was recycling burial plots. He was doing that. And what happened is that they found
mass graves.
Mass graves.
Mm-hmm.
All the relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is it's interesting. What people would take advantage of your ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take your money, take advantage of your ignorance, and say nothing about it. You know?
Can we see how they glorify death
mm-hmm.
when they do that?
Right. It was right. It was for the comfort of the relatives that they would spend such money to buy concrete vaults and real expensive. Caskets.
Yeah, they got ones you pull out too, don't they?
They
look like little miniature houses, but yeah, they're concrete and the whole works
Okay, so this is what James is talking about right here. Okay, of how much people expend to such vain things. Okay, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Okay, being the system of the system tethered to Satan's perspective, so is our tongue. Okay, being the voice, the signature. As among our members, and it defiles the whole body because the conscience, being the state that it is, and is set on fire and sets on fire the course of nature, which has to do with the thinking of man, right? And it is set on fire of hell. Here we see the moral code in the flesh and Satan's kingdom. This is what James is telling the saints right here, okay, regarding that. Okay, without having oversight. Okay, your priesthood is going to revert to idol worshiping. Okay, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed to mankind. Okay, when you sympathize with the signature, okay, it becomes tame. Like one of the Dossies over there that I've been feeding. Okay, and they recognize me when I go out there, but there's this one Dossie that's friendly enough that when he's eating, you can pet it and scratch it, you know, play with it a little bit. But I still be very careful. Don't get your finger too close to the mouth.
Yeah,
happened enough. Okay, okay. But it is—it's kind of interesting. Yeah, but their fur—they have like cat fur. Some of them got to cat fur. Just to let you know if you're curious about that.
Thank
it's
you.
Like cat fur. Yeah. So if you're wondering what a Dossie feels like, pick up your pet cat and say, "That's me." Except cats smell better. They're cleaner. Yeah. Okay, so has been tame of mankind simply because you sympathize with the signature. But the tongue, okay, can no man tame. Okay, it's small, but it can remain independent, okay, as the body can. Okay, here he says it's an unruly evil. It refuses, when it's the word unruly, which means it's lawless. The knowledge is lawless. Okay, the word evil has to do with the form of knowledge, which is evil. This is what Jesus prayed also to his apostles. I pray that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. And the evil has to do with the plundering of false knowledge. And false knowledge plunders the soul. Okay, so don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the tongue can no man tame. Okay, it is an unruly evil. It must remain independent to voice its own perceptions. But here James is saying you can't do that in God's kingdom. In the house of Bel, they allow for that. Okay, but when you come to the house of God, okay, there's certain rules to the house. You don't jump on the furniture. Okay, and you know you can't play baseball. Okay, in the dining room where you could bust something. That happened when I was a little kid. Okay, when I was a little kid, my mom had this crystal vase, okay, which was given to her by great grandmother. You know, yes, you know what happened, right? And it was in the living room. Okay, and here, the parents gave the kid a ball. Well, what are the kids going to do with a ball? Mm-hmm. Play with a ball. I played with a ball. Okay, and I was kicking around the living room. And it went boom, boom, broke. And it was terrible. And I know my mom felt so bad about that. You know, and that. Okay, well, same thing with a church. Okay, you give knowledge to a baby Christian, he's going to kick that ball around, he's going to break some crystal. Okay, in that, unless he knows how to behave himself in the house of God. Okay, so, but the tongue can no man tame, but is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Okay, which has to do with the lips of the person. Okay, is really Satan's thorns. Okay, and Satan thorns, the knowledge of Satan thorns is nothing more, is always pricking and envy and strife. Okay, are you a thorny Christian or are you a fruit Christian? Okay, well, it depends upon exactly what kingdom you're resourcing. Therewith bless we God, he says, even the Father, in the assembly, and therewith curse we men. Okay, as we then we begin to compete with the aspiration on a personal level. Okay, competing. Okay, after this, which we are made after the similitude of God. Okay, is this his likeness? Okay, well, we're using the God code with the signature in place of faith. That's why. Okay, after the similitude of God. We're using the God code with the signature, okay, rather than with faith. And of course, we can show some examples of that up there, but I want to move on here. Now, out of the same mouth, okay, James is addressing these here. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing. Okay. And curse. Okay. Okay, that which you're going to have to do with God's kingdom. Okay, and of course that which is also with false knowledge. Truth and false knowledge. Okay, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. You shouldn't be practicing that. Okay, you should be walking according by faith, as he says in chapter 2, verse 26. Okay, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith is without works is dead also. So this is, we see dead works. The bitter is dead works. The bitter is dead faith. Okay, but the sweet, of course, is living works. And the sweet, of course, is living faith. So does a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Okay, because people will exploit what they feel, okay, as a frailty of others. Okay, that's the bitter. People will exploit what they feel as a frailty of others, even for their own self-righteousness. Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries? No, it doesn't. It wasn't designed that way. The kingdom of God had one design in mind. When God designed his kingdom, it was with this one thing, fruit bearing. Okay? But then Satan offered the option. And God allowed the option to exist in this dimension. Okay? And so it goes on, can the fig tree bear olive berries or either vine figs? Okay, so can no fountain, James says, okay, or well, at the same time have salt water and fresh water. Okay, there's two kingdoms. Two kingdoms are seeking to dominate your will. So he's saying, be sober with the sweet water. Be sober with the sweet water. Drink of this well. Verse 13. Who is a wise man? Now the word wise right there has two kinds of applications to it. Okay, we can see that the wisdom is well's foolishness with God. Okay, so who is a wise man? Is there somebody, is there anyone among you that's educated enough to make this right choice? Because the wise man is one, okay, that makes prudent decisions based upon the knowledge. Okay, whereas the fool makes their decisions based upon the immediate gratification of the inclination, which is called folly. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? See the word not, wise, and knowledge. Now if you go to Proverbs chapter 1, that's the definition right there. Knowledge and Proverbs chapter 1. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? So let him show of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's prudence. Okay, with meekness of wisdom. Okay, not that which is loud and exploitive. Okay, the imagination. That's what false knowledge does too. Knowledge exploits the imagination. Okay, it exploits it, which means that it takes advantage to mold your dreams, okay, into a nightmare. Okay, that's what false knowledge do. It exploits the imagination to mold your dreams into a nightmare. Okay, so what you're thinking at one time, at one moment, okay, is okay, fields of lilies, okay, ends up being furrows of briars. Okay, in the very end, you wake up and suddenly you're in a dream state. You think you're in a field of lilies. Okay, but then when you come out of your trance as you're sleepwalking, you wake up in the woods surrounded by briars. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Okay, thinking about that. You have a thought?
No.
Okay. Okay, so James is going to give us an example right here between these two kingdoms. In verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, okay, now he's talking to Christians right here, okay, concerning what kingdom are you really nurturing here? Okay, are you using the tools? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, and glory not, and lie not, he says here, lie not against the truth. That means claiming that the Holy Spirit is teaching you this manner of behavior. The Holy Ghost is not teaching you that manner of behavior. Okay, because charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself. Charity does not puff up. Okay, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easy provoked and thinks no evil. Okay? So we can see that the nurturing of that kingdom, okay, in the heart, okay, the heart of briars, okay, that's what he calls it, bitter envy and strife. But yeah, bitter envy and strife in your hearts, lie not, or glory not, and lie not against the truth. Because the word lie not right there has to do with that you're giving the record of your own soul a religious makeover to make it look righteous. You're giving the moral code a religious makeover. You're taking the cat and dressing him up like a doll. Okay? But the cat is still a cat. Even though the cat, you know, it has little doll things on it. It looks cute. Okay? It looks cute and looks cuddly, but it's still a cat. Okay, in that. Or taking a store mannequin, okay, and dressing it up doesn't make it a real person. Okay? Even though it has all the eye candy of looking like a real person. Like you see in the mall every time you go to the mall over there. You see mannequins in the window. Okay, but of course they're not selling the mannequin; they're selling the clothes. Okay. So here, and lie not against the truth, because you're claiming that the Holy Spirit is teaching you this manner of behavior, and the Holy Ghost is not teaching that manner of behavior. Now James explains to us this wisdom. Okay, what is the direction that the Spirit is taking? Okay, and the behavior that the temperament is manifesting itself as not the work of regeneration. Okay. You can't use your frailty as justification for bad behavior. Okay, in that. Okay, you can't do evil to your neighbor. Says, well, just endure me because it's just my frailty speaking. That's not what James is saying right here. See,
mm-hmm.
Because then you're saying that you're using frailty for justification,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. You're justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're justified by faith. Okay, that's why we continually stand with that mindset. Okay, in the light of the revelation. Okay, but we're to be long-suffering with each other, that's true. Now James says here, this wisdom, because there's two types of wisdom, because he's going to tell her what the true wisdom is in verse 17. So the wisdom which is Satan's wisdom is verse 15, but the wisdom which is God's wisdom is verse 17. Okay? So James is making a comparison right here, okay, regarding what is directing the heart. Okay, the wisdom that directs the heart in this way of dissension is not the Holy Ghost. Okay? But the wisdom which directs the heart in purity is that which is the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we see the angel of iniquity in verse 15, and we see the angel of righteousness in verse 17. This wisdom in verse 15, which is the angel of iniquity, okay, is tasking the soul with vain things, isn't he? Descends not from above. Okay? That means this behavior, okay, is not that which is tethered to God. Okay? But the behavior is manifesting these things. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Well, he gets right to the point, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's born in the moral code, okay, and it's born in the moral code and is directed by Satan. Okay, it's earthly because it centers upon the moral code. Okay, essential. Okay, essential because it has to do with it's an expression of Adam's passions and aspirations. And in the end, it's tethered to Satan, devilish. Okay, devilish in behavior, thorny. Okay. Okay, for where envy and strife is, where envy sows doubt. Okay, when envy sows doubt, we talked about that. Okay, we talked about doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. We can see this is what James talked about, earthly, sensual, devilish. Okay, doubt has to do why, double-mindedness has to do what if, okay, and sedition has to do I refuse. Okay, that's the wisdom of this world. Okay, that is the wisdom of this world against the kingdom of God. Okay, it will always come to that conclusion, I refuse. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, at first they were in doubt, right? And they asked John the Baptist, who are you? In other words, your doubt. Give account of yourself. What should we say to those that sent us? And John says, tell them that I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And then they asked them questions, being double-minded. Okay, what if? Okay, are you Elijah? Okay, or are you that prophet? He says, I'm just that voice crying in the wilderness. So you can see the same thing. And then in the very end, they rejected him. And he says, I refuse. Okay, they actually refused the testimony of John about Jesus. Okay. For where erring and strife is, in verse 16, there's confusion. Now, confusion is the result of their envy. Okay, and derision is that they are without direction. Okay, but they think that they have direction, but their direction is setting with the wisdom of this world. Okay, carnal things. But where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Okay, every evil work exists where it exists, it is nurtured. Okay, where prayer is weak particularly, okay, in the practice of each saint, okay, derision begin to rule and overshadow you. The shadow of turning will come over. Okay, in chapter 1, it talks about that. In 1:17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Okay, the shadow of turning, again, has to do with where you're turning from, the prophetic path. Okay, if you're walking on the prophetic path, Satan will cast a shadow across it. Don't stop and follow the shadow. Okay, that's not the path. That's the shadow. Okay, well, let's look at the wisdom which is from above. Okay, in verse 17. Okay, but the wisdom which is from above, which is the Spirit, always directs you in the charity covenant, or covenant charity. Mm-hmm. The wisdom, okay, which gives direction and tasks you, the wisdom that's from above is first this, pure. Be pure from what? It's always pure from the aspiration. Okay? And it carries with it a good conscience, doesn't it? But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, okay, free from the aspiration and conscience, and it builds confidence, okay, without the principle, so it's peaceable and gentle. It builds confidence without the principle, so it's peaceable and gentle, and easy to be entreated, okay, in regarding its direction. And what else is it? The wisdom from above is also full of mercy, because okay, it's always directing you into covenant. Okay, and good fruits as a result of this. Okay, good fruits, which means your perception begins to change. Your perception begins to change, and it stands in the light of God. Okay, if it stands in the light of God, it's without partiality. Partiality, which means is like double-minded. Okay, it's double-minded, and it always stands in your interest, mm-hmm. not in God's. And it's without hypocrisy, okay, or even false piety. It's without false piety, okay, and neither does it project itself. Okay, a good works in the moral code. And good works of moral code is hypocrisy. Okay. Okay, in verse 18. Okay, and the fruit of righteousness, I like that. I like the word fruit. The product. Okay, we talked about the product. Okay, because this is what truth will do. Okay, the truth of God identifies his character, purpose, and plan, the things that he says, does, and the produce of it, the product of it, doesn't it? The product of it. So the product of this standard of Christ, okay? So the fruit of righteousness is that which is sown. The more you sow, the more you grow. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay? So the word peace here, sown in peace of them of charity, and the peace of them, which has to do with charity in them, that make peace which is in prayer. That makes peace which is in prayer.
all those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.